Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Guru Nanak.
Para ver, para amar. As long as a person is engaged, entangled in food or activities, he's bound to accept one body after another. This is called karma mandapamsa, entangled in food or activities. It does not matter whether one is entangled in pious or impious activities, for both are causes for further entanglement of material bodies. A pious activity, one can take birth in a rich family and get a good education, a beautiful body, and this does not mean that the stresses of life are ultimately eliminated. In the Western countries, it is not unusual for one to take birth in a rich aristocratic family, nor is it unusual for one to have a good education, a very beautiful body. But this does not mean that Westerners are free from the stresses of life. Although at the present moment, the younger generation of Western countries has sufficient education, beauty, and wealth, and although there is enough food, clothing, facilities for sense gratification, they are in distress. Indeed, they are so distressed that they become hippies, and the laws of nature force them to accept that wretched life. Thus, they go about unclean and without shelter or food, and their forces live in the street. It can be concluded that one cannot become happy by simply performing pious activities. It is not a fact that one who those who are born with a silver spoon in the mouth are free from the material disease of birth, old age, death, disease, and death. The conclusion is that one cannot be happy by simply executing pious or impious activities. Such activities simply cause entanglement, transmigration from one body to another. Narottam Das Thakur calls this karma on the palms. King Prakshanabhani Shat admitted this fact and frankly asked Narada Muni how he could get out of the karma on the palms on entanglement through his activities. This is actually the stage of knowledge indicating the first verse of the Sutra at the top of Brahmajnyasa. When one actually reaches the platform of frustration or attempt to discourage karma mandapamsa, he inquires about the real value of life, which is called Brahmajnyasa. In order to inquire about the ultimate goal of life, the Vedas enjoin that began at Amishabhuni and Vati Pachet. In order to understand the transcendental science, one must approach the life spiritual master. King Prakshanabharaja found the best spiritual master, Narada Muni, and he therefore asked him about that knowledge by which one can get out of the entanglement of karma mandapamsa through the activities. This is the actual business of human life. Vivasita jigasa narto yavsite parmabhi. As stated in the second chapter of the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, a human being's only business is inquiring from bona fide spiritual master about explication from the entanglement of karma on the Next six, those who are interested only in the so-called beautiful life, namely remaining as a householder entangled by sons and wives and searching after wealth, think that such things are life's ultimate goal. Such people simply wander in different types of bodies throughout this material existence without finding the ultimate goal of life. For about those who are too much attached to family life, which consists of entanglement with wife, children, wealth, and home, are engaged in kuta dharma pseudo-duties. Prahlada Maharaj has likened these pseudo-occupational duties to a dark well. Prahlada has purposely spoken of the dark well because if one falls into this well, he will die. He may cry for help, but no one will hear him or come to rescue him. The words Ramayana Samsara Bhakti Sura significant. In Chaitanya Charitamrita, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu very clearly explains Ramanda Brahmate Pundra Bhaktivamaji. All living entities are wandering in different types of bodies throughout the planets, and if, in the course of the wanderings, they come in contact with a devotee by the direction of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, their lives become successful. Even though King Prachinabharata was engaged in fruitive activities, the great sage Narada appeared before him. The king was very fortunate to be able to associate with Narada, who enlightened him with spiritual knowledge. It is a duty of all saintly persons to follow the footsteps of Narada Muni and travel all over the world, to every country and village, thus to instruct illusioned persons about the goal of life and to save them from the entanglement of karma bandha, fruit of activities. The king replied, "O great soul, Narada, my intelligence is entangled with fruit of activities, therefore I do not know the ultimate goal of life. Come and instruct me with your knowledge so I can get out of the entanglement of fruit of activities." Those who were in this so-called beautiful life, named remaining a household, as a householder, entangled by sons and wife, and searching after wealth, think that such things are life's ultimate goal. Such people simply wander in different types of bodies throughout this material existence without finding the ultimate goal of life. So Narada Muni met the king, and the king, even though he was engaged in karma yoga and execution of sacrifices for material gain, he also realized that this was not the ultimate goal, and therefore in this verse he asks Narada Muni to please tell him truth, or knowledge, vimalam jnana, pure knowledge, by which he can get out of karma. So in other words, he recognized that the sacrifices that he had done did not release him from karma, but only continued his karma. Of course, because it is a Vedic action, in one sense it's approved, so one can do these things in order to get material enjoyment. But the end result is that it's temporary. The result is temporary. So therefore, and it leads to further bondage. So therefore it is not the ultimate goal. The king realized this, and therefore when Narada Muni came, he requests that he give knowledge by which he can destroy the bondage of karma, since the sacrifices that he was doing didn't produce this effect, they didn't destroy karma. So, in this way he had a little intelligence to make a proper request. And he also understood his own situation, that if we involve in such activities, even they are approved by the Vedas, we can simply become attached, further attached to wealth, wife, sons, daughters, etc. In the house. So in this way one becomes further bewildered. And so in other words, the karma yoga method is not a solution to the problem, and it has the danger of continuing one's material existence with attachment. So therefore he asked Narada Muni for knowledge, but not just regular knowledge, for pure knowledge. vimalam jnanam. So this is, of course, the duty of the king before a sage or a rishi, and particularly before Narada Muni, who of course is the incarnation of the Lord, to spread bhakti. So it was quite proper that he asked them for proper knowledge. And Narada Muni, of course, because he is empowered to give knowledge to bhakti, whenever he preaches, he will perform this function. So we see that he gave instructions to Dhruva, and throughout the Bhagavatam we find him giving instructions to different persons. So here, in the case of Prashnavarti, he also gives instructions for his benefit. So, as I mentioned before, jnanam is of different types. Jnanam can release you from samsara, or material bondage, which is what the king requests. But higher knowledge than that, of course, is vijnanam. Or we can say the vimala jnanam here. Knowledge of bhakti is higher than this knowledge of release from samsara. So we should understand there are levels of different types of knowledge, and they will give varying results. So the general knowledge of spirit will get you released from samsara. And if we have higher knowledge, that is knowledge of the Lord, that's Bhagavan, then we get relief from samsara, but we get more than that. So that we get a place in the spiritual world to serve the Lord eternally. So, therefore, knowledge does not simply mean understand jnana yoga or brahman, but here, because it says vimalam jnanam, this will include all types of knowledge, including bhakti. So the purpose of the Bhagavatam ultimately, of course, is to give this knowledge of bhakti rather than jnana or yoga or any other process. You'll find, first of all, Narada Muni has a strategy, which is also the strategy in a lot of the scriptures. So the preliminary stage is to give an understanding that you're not the body. This was Krishna's strategy in Bhagavad Gita. So therefore the first statement of Krishna to Arjuna is you're not the body. So to do this, Narada Muni gives a very elaborate example, that is the story of King Puranjana, to show that the jiva is separate from the material body. So that is the first instruction. It's not the final instruction, but it is the first instruction. You're not the body. This of course leads to liberation, when we understand we're not the body. However, higher than that, of course, not only we're not the body, but we're also servant of the Supreme Lord. That's another type of knowledge. That is the vijnanam. But the, as I said, the strategy of scriptures is often to go step by step. So first, after doing karma, then the next point of knowledge is it's all useless, and you're not the body anyway. And once that is established, then Supreme Lord and jiva are established as a second step of knowledge. So that is the strategy in some of the Vedic literature. So that is why often the Upanishads speak of Brahman and Atma, etc., rather than bhakti. It's a preliminary stage. If we look at the Vedic literatures as a whole, then we have to understand that there are higher aspects also. So that is one aspect of knowledge, but not the final aspect of knowledge. So in the Bhagavatam, we'll find everything presented. We'll find the aspect of Brahman presented also, and we'll also find the aspect of Bhagavan presented. Both will be there. And of course, we understand there's Brahman, Paramatma, and Bhagavan, actually, in three divisions. And if we look in the Bhagavad Gita, we'll find the same delineation of Tattva, in terms of Brahman, Paramatma and Bhagavan in the last chapter of Bhagavad Gita. Krishna makes this statement also. He talks about Guhya, Guhyatara, and Guhyatamam, secret, more secret, and most secret knowledge. So the secret knowledge is secret knowledge of Brahman. The more secret knowledge is secret is knowledge of Paramatma. And then the highest secret, the best secret is knowledge of bhakti. So not only in Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita, but the same progression of knowledge. So therefore knowledge, we have to understand, has various levels. And Bhagavatam is most interested in presenting the final level.
Prabhupada said in the Prabhupada, the pious and pious activities are mainly the good and different birth than old age and disease.
Yeah. Yeah, pious activities, of course, will be less distress. If it was the same, then everyone would be simple. But they're encouraged to the pious activities because they get less distress. Still, they get some sickness, they get some disease or whatever, and they get old and they die ultimately. But the amount of suffering is much less.
The property is the more they enjoy, the more they have to suffer.
Yeah. Well, if one enjoys without doing any more pious activities, then of course one's punyas run out and then one suffers again. So one has to be careful to always continue to do punyas if one wants to follow this process of karma. Yeah, that doesn't, because ultimately material happiness does not give real happiness, that's why. One is still dissatisfied in spite of all these things. So, one may have good health, and money, and long life, and whatever. But, due to punyas, but still, doesn't really give satisfaction. So therefore, people may reject them also, even if they have those things.
Maharaj said that one should reach according to his levels of realization. What does that mean? Because we can repeat the statements from scriptures.
Mm-hmm.
But then, how do we understand this instruction that one should teach about individual realization?
Well, in one sense, it's like karmis can only preach about karma, and jnanis can only preach about jnana, and devotees can only preach about bhakti. They don't want to, you know, do something lesser, and they can't. And the jnanis cannot preach about bhakti. Mm-hmm. Generally, they will preach what they're interested in. They preach according to qualification. Within bhakti also then, we have according to qualification, one has at a certain level, so generally he can only communicate that type of knowledge and realization that he has, nothing more than that. It's only natural.
Self-realization on different level, karma yoga, jnana yoga and all that. So Krishna says give up all other religion and take up a bhakti yoga.
Yeah. He does not recommend following the other processes at all in Kali Yuga. Though they were applicable in other yugas, in Kali Yuga, he says, no, don't do that.
But Gurus, one may have the ability to just repeat one day, but they may not be having the realization.
That's also okay. That's still the truth. But of course, you may not convince people.
Maharaj, the Prabhupada has come that Mata Dharma. Those who are engaged in occupational duties, the dark well.
Mm.
So, being in the material world and the varnashram system, so how to get distancing from the entanglement?
Well, in the varnashram system itself, there is a process that is one goes through different stages from the grihastha and becomes a vanaprastha and takes sannyas. So, that is a way in which one gets out gradual detachment. Of course, the other process is simply do bhakti, and by bhakti, one automatically develops detachment from material things.
Yeah.
निरंतर से सुशीलम भागवत की जय। महाराज की जय।
ஸ்பான்சர் பண்ணாங்க, இது ஸ்பான்சர்
பண்ணிக்கிறேன் சொன்னாங்களே
அது அந்த ஆளுக்கு போகணுமே.